Welcome to Radio 5G with Michael Henry Dunn, Nancy Hopkins, and friends, a cosmic reality radio production.
When all the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Oh, let it be.
And we are live.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Radio 5G. This is Michael Henry Dunn with my co-host, Nancy Hopkins. Good morning, Nancy. How's it going?
Doing fine, Michael. Thank you. And yourself?
Oh, doing all right. It's a sunny day here in southern Colorado, up at 8,000 feet in the San Luis Valley, and where the population is so sparse that you can't hardly notice a lockdown. It's like, oh, there's one or two fewer elk, and they're wearing masks. That's kind of like what it's like around here. We've got a lot of really fascinating and, we believe, helpful information to share with everybody this morning about, of course,
Michael?
Abashedly refer.
Okay. All right, you're back.
Little connection glitch there?
Yeah.
This being Radio 5G, avowedly dedicated to waking everybody up to the extremely harmful effects on human health and the biosphere of the fifth generation telecom rollout. We unabashedly refer to 5G, but censorship is getting to a point between Google and YouTube and at Facebook, etc., where even talking about the infection can get you dinged or marked as violating community standards, much less to talk about the connection between the two, between the infection and the, you know, and the reality of microwave, millimeter microwave. But that, well, that's a sure ding. But we're out here sharing it with you as best we can. So, Nancy, we've got some powerful information that you've brought to the table this morning. Do you want to talk a little bit about it before we share the Barry Trower material?
Well, I was just looking up the YouTube to give you the background to it, but the guy that put this together. Now, the important thing to remember about this is that, okay, Barry Trower is somebody that has credentials up the gehoozie. He's been out there against electromagnetic pollution and the dangers of it for as long as I have. And whoever put it together put this together in 2012. This is 2012 that this particular video went out. And I just think we should start it because he goes over so much information in such a brilliant way. It'll seem a little choppy because they've taken out the questions. They had put music in between it, and then they showed videos. But I just cleaned that up. So it might sound like he's going to subject. That's exactly what he's doing. But you'll get a real, real amazing overview of this in 30 minutes. So if you're ready to go, I am.
Okay, yeah, great. Let's roll it. This is a recording from a YouTube interview with Barry Trower discussing weaponized signals from the year 2012, and it's a commentary, very sharp commentary on what we are seeing. Let's roll it.
Hello, my name is Lars Drudgaard. I come from the International Center Against Abuse of Covert Technologies, and I'm very honored that I have been given a chance to interview Mr. Barry Trower together with my fellow Danish citizen, Mr. Stephen Bell.
My pleasure.
Maybe you could introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'll tell you how I came into this. In the 1960s, very early 1960s, I trained with the government microwave warfare establishment. I looked at all aspects of microwave warfare. And when I finished my time in the military, because I had a lot of expertise in the microwave field, I was asked if I would carry on with this research. And some people blow this out of all proportion. I was an agent. I don't like the word secret agent, because secret agent, when you say secret agent, people think of James Bond, who wasn't a secret agent and he wasn't a spy. James Bond, the fictitious character, is military intelligence, and I wasn't military intelligence. I was an agent. I collected information secretly, and I spent 11 years collecting information from spies who were a very short part, a very small part of my work. I also questioned international terrorists, international criminals, anybody of immense interest I questioned, and I trained for quite a few years to learn how to do this. They found that there was an unusual number of breast cancers, childhood leukemias, other cancers, and they couldn't work out why. So they changed some of the staff, and then they went down with leukemias and cancers. And again, they changed the staff, and then they looked into this and found they were being microwaved. And this is where the United States became a little bit naughty. They decided to keep this quiet. The Americans used their own people as initial guinea pigs to develop their own weapons. And then when it was discovered what was going on, initially there was a denial that you always get. Then there was a cover-up report. And finally, a very renowned professor, I think he has about 18 professorships, John Goldsmith, he wrote the definitive proper report and found that low-level microwaves were causing an enormous amount of cancers and leukemias and ill effects. And by then, everybody was leaping onto the microwaves as stealth weapons, and they go from there, which was the 50s, right up to and including the present day. The ladies were protesting about having American missiles on English soil. Mm-hmm. And it was a peaceful protest. All they were doing were camping outside the perimeter of the American base. There was no violence, no swearing, no shouting. It was a peaceful protest. Mm-hmm. And it was found that from the American base, the ladies were being microwaved, and it was actually measured. They were being microwaved to make them sick. And in fact, when the figures came out, there was a disproportionate amount of tumours, personality changes, suicidal tendencies of the ladies. They were deliberately microwaved by the Americans for protesting about their base. With one pulse frequency, you can just make people so suicidal, they can't be bothered to act like a demonstrator anymore. All they want to do is sleep or lay in bed all day. So, so if you're targeting demonstrators, you make them suicidally depressed, and they don't care about demonstrating anymore because they're too upset. Whereas if you want to cause a specific psychiatric illness, you would have an infrared device that followed the person, and you would link it to a pencil-thin microwave source, so the microwave beam would always target a specific gland or a specific part of the brain or an eye or a heart. So you would have them being targeted. They can cause insanity. And it was an experiment. One of the experiments was to take an ordinary sane person, cause insanity, and have a psychiatrist who was unknown to everybody diagnose schizophrenia or paranoia or a psychiatric illness. That was a successful outcome. And the person would spend the rest of their life in an asylum in misery, but to the government scientists, that was a success.
Was the guinea pig locked up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, humans, the difference between humans are like guinea pigs. Mm. If they want to experiment on you, by the thousands, they will. And you can be driven to insanity and death, and you just become a tick in a box without any so much as a feeling. Yeah, and this is what they do, and this is why they are above the law. It wasn't until around the 70s that this became secret. For some reason, it was talked about openly. You know, if I'm talking to a spy, and I want to find out where the spy was trained, how the spy was recruited, over the 5-year period of training and everything that went on, it's going to take years and years and years. But if you want to talk about microwaves and chips and microwave weapons, they'll just talk about it over a biscuit and a cup of tea. It wasn't secret. Most governments talked openly, or people talked openly about it. It wasn't until the 70s, mid-70s, that I think the full potential of this globally came into force, and the governments decided then to put everything under the Official Secrets Acts. But until then, nothing was secret. It was just talked about openly. Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't, people didn't know about it. It wasn't general knowledge. You wouldn't meet somebody in the supermarket and say, have you got a chip in? But the people that had them knew they had them, and they would go around talking about them, and other people would talk about them. Whereby, with the special forces, you could send down, if you had an idea roughly what country they were in, you could send down a beam from a satellite. The chip would be switched on by the beam, energized, and would send a signal back. You've got that type of chip. The other type is when it is pulsing continuously to stimulate, let's say, a gland in the body at a set frequency to produce a specific chemical that will produce a specific biochemical response in the brain. So you can have one working permanently, and you can have them working intermittently, and you can have them that will only work if they are stimulated. Yeah, I mean, voices are the easiest ones, because all you have to do is stimulate the cochlea with a set resonant frequency. It's very easy. Voices are very easy, and it isn't people imagining voices, they physically hear them. They physically hear, as I'm talking to you, my voice isn't inside your brain. My voice goes no further than an inch into your ear, no further at all. It's the electrical signal that makes you interpret how I sound. And once you've got this electrical signal, which can be a chip or lots of things, you can physically make people hear voices, certain voices, and it can be any conversation, and it can be anybody you want to hear. It can be a soft angelic voice. It can be a god. It can be something that scares you like a devil. It can be anything. Fair enough. So I was there. I went into the back of a big black car, and it took me off in the dark, and then underneath a huge building in the dark. And I was suddenly thinking, well, hang on, this could be a bullet in the back of the head time. I'm getting uncomfortable here. But he took me out and took me to a room, and he said, I'm an international scientist, he said, and something is really, really worrying me, and I have to tell somebody who can tell the world. Now, I actually knew what he told me, I knew was going on anyway, because it had been discussed in other countries. But he said, it is now possible to genetically change bacteriums and virus, genetically change them. What has been developed now is if bacterium, they can lay, and yeasts, they can lay in the soil for hundreds of years in a dormant stage. And it's known by gravediggers or people who dig up old graves that it's possible when light comes on the bacterium to regenerate the bubonic plague that's been laying in the ground for several hundred years. It only wants that particular frequency and bang, it's active again. You don't need more than two brain cells to work out where you go from here. Virus are neither dead nor alive. They inhabit hosts. If I put a virus inside a dormant bacteria that I know I can spring to life, I go to Norway on a holiday, or Denmark, or Sweden. I just spread the virus around the forests with the dormant bacteria, and I come back. And I can wait, if I like, 100 years, 200 years, or 2 hours. Makes no difference to me. And then all I have to do with HARP or a similar device is put the frequency, the microwave frequency, off the ionosphere down onto Norway. Whenever I feel like it, the virus will spring to life because their host has sprung to life. This is where we are. So countries can now, just by introducing bacteriums and viruses and whatever, they can totally devastate the economic possibilities of another country.
But doesn't that mean that we are in a new Cold War and that the entire military is obsolete?
Oh, you're absolutely right. We are in a new Cold War. And this is why countries are developing this. I mean, really developing this. And this is why all of the microwave transmitters are going up everywhere. Because somebody, if they wanted to, could use them for other effects. The system is up and running. In a 3-month period, I had 5 lady police officers in this house, all with cancer. I've had a series of calls from officers saying that their personalities have been changed. Whenever I go to a country, and I did, I think the year before, I did 6 countries, I think last year or the year before, the questions always come around to Tetra, and they always come around to aggressive behaviour from the police since they started using Tetra. And I have the government documents that say this can cause neurological damage, this can cause cancer, this can cause aggressive behavior and personality changes. This was at the beginning of the experiment, and the experiment with Tetra is not due to finish until 2018. So it's an experimental system. The United States one was quite interesting. It was to do with special forces. Probably 5 or 6 years ago, they came back from a mission, and of the 6 or 8 gentlemen that were in the special forces, 5 of them, I believe, went home. I think it was 5 or 6 went home and severely beat their wives or children or both, where some of the wives died. Some ended up in hospital, but they were severely beaten. And it was believed that the communications apparatus they were using was entraining the brain and stimulating violence. And this was Fort Bragg. Now, I either had a phone call from Fort Bragg or I had a phone call from the embassy to ask if I knew what frequencies could cause this. Because I ended up talking to each. And I said, don't tell me, I will tell you what frequencies they have been using. Now, the special forces don't just hold them up. They're on permanently. So we're talking massive entrainment, far beyond what the ordinary person would suffer. But it induced such a level of entrainment and violence. So I told them what frequencies I believed they would be using. I sent them documentary evidence, and the whole thing was hushed over, and it was on the news, but then they obviously, I would imagine, changed the frequency. It's been shown that a child using a cell phone, just an ordinary school child, if the child uses the phone for just 2 minutes, the brain waves can take up to 2 hours to return to normal. 2 hours. And that's been published. Now, in those 2 hours, the child's brain is not acting as it should, and it could demonstrate itself in a number of ways. For instance, if the child were in school and made a quick call from the playground, it could be lack of concentration, hyperactivity, bad behaviour. It could be anything like that. And that would slowly ease off over 2 hours. Now, that's just from 2 minutes. Now, if a child makes a phone call every couple of hours, the brain is going to be entrained permanently. And it's already been published by the industry that a child using microwaves just before bed will have his or her sleep totally disrupted by entrainment. I cited, I think, 200 schools in Europe where a transmitter had been put in or near the playground where they had leukemia clusters. Some of our own MPs here have stood up in Parliament to say that they have 11 children under the age of 11 with leukemia around a transmitter, or 18 children. I mean, cancers are reaching epidemic proportions. There are lots of different types of cancers coming up now. I know in China, they've just had a 3,000% increase in parotid gland cancer, which is the side of the face where you would hold a mobile. We're getting cancers of the eye coming up. Obviously, brain tumours. In fact, brain tumours are quite enormous now in terms of numbers. That I read a report, and I read this out in Canada last year, people are so worried about the numbers of brain tumours that they've re-diagnosed 10,000 brain tumours as endocrine cancers to take them off the statistics. And I do know that in the European Union, we have been told that cancers are at epidemic proportions, and we're talking generally cancers between the ear and the brain. Years ago, our government said to its scientists, when it comes to microwaves, you will only talk about things to do with heat, and that is it. So they won't even discuss anything else. They will deny anything that doesn't have anything to do with heat. They even deny all of their 40 years of research leading up to this. Yeah. Although they've said this can cause cancer and all the damage, they say, no, it can't. We're only looking at heat, and heat is all that matters. Okay. Yeah, I prefer to call it lying.
All right.
Yeah. I think I've never known so many liars in my life as what is coming out now from the government. Put it simply, they did all the research, they knew the dangers, and then they decided to lie to the public. For no other reason than to save themselves with lawsuits and to make money for industry. And that's written down, and I've got that written down.
Okay.
So for the last 40 years, the government, the English government, has been lying to the people. And the American government, the Canadian, the Australian, they have been lying. They have been lying to protect industry, protect their profits, to protect themselves from lawsuits. They are really just liars. And it's provable. I made a statement in Birmingham, in this country, probably 15 years ago. And I haven't changed it since. And I've said that I believe that this industry and the part of the government which is encouraging them will be responsible for more civilian deaths and suffering than all the terrorist groups in the world ever. And with the growth of the industry over the last 15 years, I would say now that these people are probably going to cause more death and suffering than the entire Second World War. And is that genocide? Yes, without a shadow of a doubt. And are they going to get away with it? Yes, because they are untouchable. They are outside the law.
Who is actually behind those decisions? Is this sanctioned by the WHO?
Sanctioned by the World Health Organization, without a shadow of a doubt. It is the same people. It's the same people sit on the ICNIRP certificate. They sit on our government's health protection agency, sit on the World Health Organization. It's the same people. It's the same people. There's probably no more than 20 of them. But they are going to, in my opinion, commit the worst genocide this planet has ever known. Not just people, but animals, plants. They are probably going to cause more destruction than a global war. And in several hundred years' time, people will look back, whoever survives, and look at what we try to do to stop them. Operation Paperclip. At the end of the war, the scientists were pardoned, most of them. They were pardoned for all of the people they had killed, experimented on, they were given new identities, mostly in the United States. They were given new identities, lived an ordinary civilian life, very well paid, and they went to work in laboratories for the American government. And they handed over all of their research, and this is where it came from. And this was the basis of all of this, Operation Paperclip. If they could catch somebody and keep their name secrets, that was Operation Paperclip, and they took them back. They took them back and they kept them. They used all of their resources, and there was a lot of scientists. They used all of their resources, and that was the basis of the mind control, the drugs, and everything else. I do know one experiment, just to give you some examples. I know that they found that with one of the subheadings was the microwaves on pregnant women. And they found that they could cause a 57.7 increase in miscarriages in pregnant women. Which is just one experiment, you know. So what you're actually doing is killing 57% of all the children. Again, mixing microwaves or electromagnetic waves with LSD, lysergic acid, on four-year-olds. They just experimented on people causing any amount of suffering to the point of death. And if people ended up in metal cages or stone boxes for the rest of their lives, that was the way it was going to be, because they were allowed to be experimented on. But as I say, there is no boundary. There is nothing which to me is too low. I mean, if you're going to attack a uterus and a child, you can't get much lower. And this is what they were all about. At the end of the Second World War, a committee was formed by all of the Western Allies, the United States, and Russia. And it was called the Nuremberg Treaty. And the Nuremberg Treaty was agreed by all the countries from the end of the Second World War. It was set up to stop people like Joseph Mengele, the Doctor of Death, in Bergen-Belsen concentration camp, where he experimented on twins. And they... from the Japanese torturing the American and the British and the European soldiers, the Germans experimenting, the Nuremberg Treaty was set up, and it's very defined and very succinct. And it says that no person may be experimented upon for any reason, and this includes microwave irradiation, for any reason, without their consent. And before they give their consent, they must have full knowledge of the length of the experiment, the outcomes, any potential dangers, any potential ill healths. It must be fully understood and explained. And they must give individual consent. And this includes Tetra, which is an experiment that's going on until 2018 to look for cancer and brain damage. So everybody using Tetra is actually breaking the law, the people organising them. So that was set up. So experiments on people, service personnel, the police officers with Tetra, microwaves, it is all illegal according to the Nuremberg Treaty.
As far as I know, the Nuremberg Code mm-hmm. and the Nuremberg Treaty was created after the Nuremberg Trials.
Right, yep.
And in the Nuremberg Trials, there was a specific trial called the Doctor's Trials.
Yep.
Do you recall the sentencing of those trials?
They were hanged.
Yeah.
Oh, and I've written it. I've written it in my papers, and I've said it on air in the radio. In fact, I said it, I was on international radio. It went out to 95 countries two Sundays ago. And I said, scientists at the end of the war were hanged for what scientists today are doing and getting away with. Absolutely, yep.
So, Michael, are you with me?
Are you? Oh, yeah, I'm here. I am here.
What'd you think?
I've listened very closely. Well, it's irrefutable. It's devastating. This is obviously a man who knows very well what he is sharing. This is a, you know, as he says, this is an agent in the British government who worked very closely with all of this information for many years. I can't imagine a more credible person to be talking about this in the matter-of-fact way that he is. And, you know, he's covering a lot of things that, excuse me, that, you know, many of us have known for a long time in terms of Operation Paperclip and how Nazi scientists who had experimented in ways that were just, you know, flat out war crimes, torture, crimes against humanity, that their research was taken and they were given new identities and just folded into American society where they would continue their work on these crimes against humanity for the American government. Well, for which branches, what factions, with whose awareness, I'm hoping anyway that the circle of knowledge around those projects was fairly small and limited to what we would refer to as a cabal, dark faction. I'm not one of these people who's ready to demonize, you know, every upper, even mid to upper level American military official or intelligence official as being complicit in designing modes of torture and genocide. Sorry, I just really hope that's not true, and I don't believe it is. But so, yeah, we know about Operation Paperclip, but to have Barry Trower with this formidable credibility, just listening to the man, you know that this is someone who has been there, seen all this from the inside, and has a moral compass. This man has a moral compass. And I recall an interview, I'm pretty sure it was him, with Carrie Cassidy on Project Camelot, in which she asked him, okay, are you violating any secrecy oaths by sharing what you were sharing? And there's very specifically delineated guidelines from whatever oaths he took around which he works when he's sharing all this. But the link right now, I mean, this is the reason you brought this up. You know, it's not just a link. It's like, you know, it's an iron chain between the infection and the ability to activate an infection with the microwave radiation that is going up all over the place. And he specifically states that the reason it's going up all over the place is specifically to be able to do this. And that, okay, it's a new Cold War. Hot wars are basically over, more or less, in terms of the big strategic picture, and that this kind of bioweaponry is what's really happening. Now, the question that arises for me, and I'd like us to talk about this, you know, it's very easy to think of what we call the cabal as being a, you know, monolithic top-down Luciferian Illuminati structure of overlords who control the whole world. Well, that is not the reality. There's factions within factions. And Russia's got its agenda. China's got its agenda. You know, the central banking families in the West have their agenda. And, yeah, there's overlords above those overlords who are pulling other strings. But the, you know, what we're seeing roll out, my strong impression is that all the factions are competing to be able to use the pandemic to their advantage, to be able to control it, to be able to target it where they want it, to be able to roll out new oppressive measures and rollback of human rights and civil rights while, you know, activating it when and how they please. My impression, however, is that they're not succeeding. I think that they're succeeding in some areas, but it just looks chaotic to me. I'd love to get your feedback on this. The situation looks chaotic that, yeah, there is an alliance, there is a plan, there is a movement against it, and then there are various factions attempting to use and benefit from the infection and the chaos and the fear and the lockdown and the rest of it, that I don't think we're seeing, at least I hope we're not, I don't think we're seeing the uniform, competent, carefully planned rollout that is working to the benefit of a specific agenda by a dark faction. I think we're seeing, you know, a very chaotic situation where, yes, the microwave radiation is being used to trigger this, but nobody's got complete control of it, and there's a lot of competition for it going on. Meantime, the alliance, whatever that is, you know, is making its own progress in taking these people down. You know, I have a very difficult time giving credence to, you know, what David Wilcock is going public with. You know, I've got a friend with experience in military intelligence, and you know, with your considerable experience, Nancy, it's like, do you go on the internet like David is doing and saying, okay, everybody, so there's going to be 3 days of darkness and they're going to shut down the internet and it's going to be between, you know, Good Friday and Easter. Like, chances are, if there is such an operation, military intelligence, starting with Sun Tzu and the Art of War, says you don't telegraph to your enemy what you're going to do to them when you get your enemy to believe you're going to be somewhere that you won't be, doing something that you won't be doing, while suddenly they get bit in the butt by surprise at an unexpected place and time. So, you know, I'm pretty skeptical about, you know, the public version of the alliance and the plan that's got everybody, you know, signing on to David's ascension course. So, I don't know, those are my first impressions. What do you make of that?
Well, let me address your statements there, because I actually, as a military intelligence officer, asked the same question. When I realized, and it's only been recently that I can see that there's absolute proof, absolute, undeniable proof that the Q posts are a puzzle, and that the puzzle was designed to become observable and viewable and put together in a future environment, this environment. Absolutely brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So at that point, I'm really, as an intelligence officer, saying, why are you, you know, doing exactly what you said? You know, telling the enemy exactly what you're going to do. Why are you doing this? And so then I had to look at it from the standpoint of, well, what exactly have they told us? They have told us enough information for people like myself and millions of other people to understand the depth of the enemy and their depravity and their inhumanity is beyond belief it opened us up to these things because he kept pointing to different, and he is really a group, but they kept pointing to different posts that would all of a sudden open you up to a new, oh my God, that's true too, you know? So they were training the people. And they also were getting them excited about potentiality of change. You know, stand strong. I mean, somebody said, how could this possibly be a cult? That we don't know who the leader is. He keeps saying to us, do your own research. And we really don't get anything of a philosophy. It's information. So how can this be a cult? And it wasn't. It was designed to create an environment that would accept a reality that they knew they needed to put into manifestation. Because when you stand back as now a metaphysician and you look at the situation, it's very, very obvious as a metaphysician, somebody that I just put up a post this week about how George Patton and all the people that thought they had won World War II at the end of the war realized that they didn't. They'd been fighting the German people. That was not the enemy. So I think many of us came right back to continue the war because the last thing George said before he died is, I will remember. And, you know, here I come along, and it's like, you know, the guy's like, you know, my best friend keeps reminding me of stuff I don't want to even know. And so you have a metaphysical battle going on that is very, very much dependent on who's got the vast majority of energy in play. And that energy is thought energy from people that can perceive and believe in a reality where we can beat these bastards. I mean, Barry himself is like, no, they're not going to get prosecuted. They're too big. No, they are not. And that's what Q told us. That's what Q taught us. Okay, so from the other side, is it, okay, I was in the military, also dealt with psychological warfare and how do you know, get the minds of your enemy's people on your side. And one of the strangest things you would think is to drop leaflets in an area you're about to attack. I mean, you're telling the enemy, you know, here, I'm going to attack here. Well, the enemy knows basically where you're going to go because everybody knows it studies war, you know, get the high ground, get this and get that. So you know where the targets are. So you're not really giving any information away. Maybe exactly which target you're going to, or in many cases we would drop leaflets on all of them. But it was to get the people aware that we're not trying to hurt you. Please get out of our way. Get out of our way. To try to win over the people. You know, so the fact that they're giving out as much information that could be used by the enemy, I don't think so. Because if you look at what Q has been focused on, what the entire operation has been focused on, it is focused on the concept of we're going to do this legally, we're going to arrest all these people. Now, in all the time that I've spent talking about this, I never mentioned underground tunneling systems. I never talked about the dumps. I never, even though I knew that there was a tunnel system that you could get from Washington to L.A. in, you know, a couple of hours, with these trains and everything, and that there were facilities down there, I had no clue, none whatsoever, of the immensity of what was underground. And never once did it get brought up anywhere that I've ever seen or heard. Okay? Well, that's what they were keeping secret. That was the attack point. They kept everybody out here looking over here. Their art of deception is amazing. So everybody's thinking, oh, we're going to go through this legally, and we're going to arrest them, we're going to put them in Guantanamo Bay, and look at the prison ships, and nobody was paying attention. except when they had those California fires that were so bizarre. You know, you've got, like, it was like fires are starting in certain areas. And I remember at the time, you know, the spider instinct started coming out. And I'm looking at this map, and it's showing the fires, and it, and then it's telling, you know, basically what's in this area. And I'm going, like, this is tactical operation. Somebody's having a war, and they're using directed energy weapons to start fires. Okay, I knew it. And then in 2018, the China Lake had an earthquake, but the seismographic reading said this was a nuke, not an earthquake. And then I start hearing stories of that they went after the children. And I heard initially that it was like, you know, 3,500. Well, it turns out it was 35,000 children that they supposedly got out of that one particular area. And so then now there's a guy out there. His name is Gene Decode. And he is spilling information that is mind-bending. He claims to be an ex-submariner. He's been on a number of different, well, people are probably picking him up too. But he is basically going through the entire tunnel system, one after the other, all underground, but like, okay, we're going to go California. And he talks about China. China Lake was the first one. Okay, and he's the one that said there was 35,000 children. He goes through and he gives you all through California, one after the other. This, they were doing biological stuff here. They're doing psychological. I mean, down to the what they were doing in these various unbelievably weird things that they were doing underground, and that the military had been trained. Recently trained. I mean, as soon as Trump got in there, there was a massive amount of money and training on underground warfare. So you got a situation where they were preparing to attack the enemy. You know, the true guts of what they are and what they're doing. And now I've been trying to keep up with all the information that's out there right now, but I've been following him. And if you take and look at earthquake maps, okay, well, when he tells you that, you know, China Lake, there's an earthquake. If he tells you Denver, there's an earthquake. I mean, there's supposedly all these earthquakes exactly where he's telling you that there's military operations. There are videos of manhole covers in different places burning. And he's saying that is that underneath there, and he tells you what the heck they are burning out. I mean, the details are astonishing. So what I'm saying here is basically that we were trained by Q to engage our minds in another alternative reality, because the dark side keeps trying to get us to go to their side and imagine all of the stuff that everybody has been afraid of and is what they tried to do.
Yeah, it's a fear war. It's a timeline war, trying to get us to simply be herded like cattle down the timeline, a box canyon timeline, as our friend Maya likes to refer to it, of fear and the success of their agenda. Now, when we're talking about, I mean, this is really helpful for me to understand, particularly in the point I brought up about Sun Tzu and the art of war and being where they don't think you're going to be and all that, that what you're saying, Nancy, makes a lot of sense to me. It, you know, they're waking up the public at the same time talking sealed indictments, mass arrests, blah, blah, blah. Meantime, they're taking out the enemy's refuges, their strategic operations, the deep underground military bases, the tunnels, etc. I would love for that to be true. And what you're presenting seems like there's a really good chance that it is true. You know, when it comes to the point that Barry Trower was making on this this recording we just listened to from 2012, that they will get away with it because they are untouchable. And you just said, well, no, they're not untouchable, and they're not going to get away with it. So the Nuremberg trials took place after the war was over, right? Because what you've got in the first place is a guy with a gun trying to blow your brains out. You got to blow his brains out first. That's war. Then when it's over, you uphold the rule of law and you name crimes against humanity, genocide as such. You come up with the Nuremberg Code about, you know, experimentation. That's when the human family comes together and says, we're upholding the rule of law. These are crimes against humanity and they will be prosecuted, right? So, but that can only happen after the hot war is over. That's when you get the trials. That's when you get upholding the rule of law. And what we seem to see happening here, okay, if you've got these military operations taking place against these deep underground military bases right now, that means the hot war is going on. And the information war is also going on. And the question of the sealed indictments and the rule of law being upheld, well, is that going to have to wait for the hot war to be over? You know, because a lot of us, and I've, you know,
they've actually started to release the secret indictments. It's just that they're not being announced as that. What they did was that they, the first indictment that they unsealed was against the president of Venezuela and his cabinet, a good number of his cabinet. Then the next layer of indictments that were unsealed were against the Mexican cartel. And essentially what Bear said, and they announced it, the president was with him when they announced all this. It's just that mainstream media doesn't like to cover this stuff. This would have been, you know, front pages, you know, before this, but this is what they don't want him to do. Now, what they did, Barr was the one that was doing the talking, is essentially the crime was trafficking. Okay? It doesn't stipulate drug trafficking or human trafficking. Arms trafficking. Because they work with, they got the Mexican government to work with.
Okay, arms traffic.
Huh? It's all trafficking.
I'm sorry, so it's specifically arms trafficking or
no,
all kinds of trafficking?
All kinds of trafficking. Any trafficking. Okay, that's basically what they're after. Everything. And so there's like 27,000 Mexican soldiers on the border right now. And together, the Mexican government and the United States government are in a massive, well, it might be even wrapped up by now, joint effort to completely take away the human trafficking, the drug trafficking, all of it. So, but it was done by law. And so these things have begun to be unsealed. And what they're going after is the stuff that everybody can say, oh yeah, we want that gone. It's going to get much more personal as they get deeper into it.
Okay, well, that sounds excellent. I'd be very pleased to see that. You know, but in terms of impunity ending, what Barry Trower's talking about ending, you know, the huge, planned, sophisticated, decades-long agenda ending because the criminals at the top know that their butts are in a sling, that they're looking at execution, they're looking certainly at having all of their assets confiscated, prison time, you know, whatever. Until that happens, those people aren't afraid. You know, if those people aren't afraid of punishment, impunity continues. And, you know, so maybe it's about, you know, rolling from the top up, or you stop the trafficking first. But, you know, until we see some of these kingpins publicly indicted in handcuffs before a court of law, such that the fear of God goes into all these people and that the rest of the world can see that the rule of law is being upheld with legitimacy, with jurisdiction, with due process, then, you know, then it doesn't end. It only ends then. And I spent 5 years of my life working on a movement to create a new enforceable international court of human rights for the people that wasn't controlled by the powers that be. So while I'm not an international human rights lawyer, I, you know, was the spokesman for this movement. And, you know, we went pretty deeply into the mechanics and the research of how to have jurisdiction in the eyes of the world, how to use fast-track enforcement, an existing fast-track enforcement of a judgment, how to put the fear of God into these people that they stop a minute before they commit these horrible crimes. So, we're at the top of the hour. I'd love to go into that a little bit and in the next hour and hear about what you see going forward beyond this Venezuela and Mexico operation, which certainly sounds like a promising start. Anyway, we're here on Radio 5G, folks, and we're going to hear some inspiring music, right, Nancy,
for a four-minute break? This is Barbara Menezes, and it's the coronavirus support music, and it's an energy that is just really nice. So here it is, 4 minutes.
Okay.
7, 9, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello,
this is Barbara
just like fire.
And we are back. Michael? I'm back.
I'm here. Yeah. Okay, welcome back, everybody, Radio 5G. This is Michael Henry Dunn with Nancy Hopkins. And we're in the middle of some pretty compelling stuff here. So we were focusing on the rule of law, the sealed indictments, what you were pointing out was happening in Venezuela with Attorney General Barr coming out, specifically addressing trafficking, arms trafficking, drugs trafficking, human trafficking. And that, so let me just ask you, there's reports of what, I think you said 23,000 soldiers in the Mexican military cooperating with U.S. military on the border to, you know, enforce these indictments, take down the trafficking. So these days, of course, the immediate question comes up, how solid is that news? Could it be fake news? Where's the source? Are there on
okay,
the
ground reports? Okay, the source is the president himself and Attorney General Barr.
Okay.
Okay. Now, let me point something out. You were engaged in the concept of the legality of it and putting him in court and all that. Let me point out one historical fact. The Nuremberg trials never came about until after the war was over, or supposedly over. We have to get the military, what they're confronting down there is military. You know, this is something like 27 brigades of American soldiers have been trained to do this. Now, I don't know how many of them have been committed to it, but the entities that they're finding down there actually alludes to what Barry Trower was talking about regarding the RF chips, the radio frequency chips. You're not confronting somebody who is your basic human soldier. You're confronting a super soldier that's being controlled.
Right.
There is no surrender.
Yeah, I actually did mention that in the first hour, that the Nuremberg trials took place when the hot war was over. And that's when you uphold the rule of law once, you know, the guy who's got a gun pointed at your head has surrendered. So, you know, the confronting a super soldier underground in that kind of environment, I mean, that's sci-fi movie stuff, right? And yet we know that's where we're at now. So because
now, the good news is that supposedly the White Hats have 70% of the system already under their control.
Okay, that would be beautiful. I would love for that to be true. How do we know? Where do we hear this?
Well, you're either going to have to take a chance that people who are seemingly in the know are giving you valid information that I think is valid, because if I, understanding the game, you know, you need to have people engaged mentally in what's happening. And,
yeah.
You know, so you put out there and, you know, I mean, If I consider myself a metaphysician, then I have to assume that what I know, they know. Because they're
okay.
Metaphysicians.
Right.
And I know that you have to engage human thought into an outcome of any given reality. And so by the White Hats giving us as much information through people that are, okay, this guy that I'm talking about, Gene Decoder, he is telling all of this or much of this information on a Christian network, a Christian show.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You hardly ever find, like Q himself, God bless. You know, all the time, God, spirituality is interwoven into the Q posts. It's the same thing with the people that are out there that I find are the most truthful and probably giving me accurate information. that I check in every other way I can. And those people all have this spiritual warrior thing happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
And another thing I want to point out here. Barry, he started out 10 years before I did. And he's talking from what he knew at that time in 2012. He had no indication that what we were going to get after 2012, which was people being able to organize. And I've talked about this before on other shows. To be able to organize, but to also turn the technology against the dark side. Because within the technological industry, the spy industry, you got good people. And those good people finally got together, but they got together and they are the good people that run the spy networks. So all of a sudden, the white hats now had access to virtually any information that they wanted. So what you first do is you go and you look and see how the organization is. Then you go in and you say, okay, where are the pivotal people? And so they went in and they either turned or got rid of the people that were pivotal for a takeover on all aspects. We're thinking big, from the banking to the industries. Okay, big. Then you're using the same, you know, all this amazing intelligence being gathered by everybody every time they get near anything. Okay? Well, all that information now was dedicated to finding out where are the patriots, where are the good people, and the people that are good, patriotic people in a position that of power within a structure. And they went to those people and they said, look, things suck. You want to help us out? And so you have a massive infiltration throughout the reason that you're seeing and testing to the breakdown in the organization is the fact that it's infiltrated.
Yeah,
the white hats have infiltrated everything.
Now, yeah,
I can continue and explain to you why we're seeing this thing happen, this virus thing happen. It's because the white hats are giving them enough rope to hang themselves.
Right.
They know what was happening. You know, the fact that it's not more deadly is because there was a switch. Instead of having the stuff that it was COVID 17, it was made in 2017, they took 2019, which was much weaker. It wasn't designed to do what this other one was. And you know, inadvertently, they put the weaker one out, which is why it's not getting the you know, amount of deaths associated with it. The 5G, all of that is very, very true. But, you know, Q has said more than once, you have to have the proof. You have to have them show themselves. Because it'd be one thing to stop it in China and say, oh, yeah, they were going to do this. Oh, yeah, right, sure. They were going to shut down the world. No, oh, yeah, right. You know, who'd have believed it? They had to let it play out and massively trying to control, you know, what could happen. But,
right.
You know, so it's very much a strategic and psychological game, and everybody's playing for the minds of humanity. The reason that all of this happened was too many people were waking up too fast. They couldn't even get the 5G. They rushed 5G, and then we were still waking up and stopping 5G. So then they had to get something that would get us off of the streets and under their control. And that's why they did the big, you know, let's have a pandemic and scare the crap out of
them. Right, and instead, now you've got, you know, people in the UK pulling down 5G towers because they know about the connection to the infection. You know, and now you've got actual, you know, newspaper, mainstream news stories having to cover the fact that sufficient numbers of people in the UK believe there's a link between the virus and 5G, that they're tearing down 5G towers. All those poor, benighted conspiracy theorists. Yeah, well, it's kind of difficult to get everybody to buy that line anymore.
Well, actually, if you because you said that, we could be taken down off of YouTube. YouTube has said that. Anybody that says anything about these, you know, it went out that, you know, we're going to take you down if you talk about these towers.
Okay, well, gosh, all we're doing is reporting that mainstream news was talking about it.
I know, so I know. I don't know, but we got to take a chance. We got to get the information out. You know, Germany's in the streets right now. Somebody just sent me a 3-minute video of German citizens in the streets, you know, saying, we're not going to stay home anymore. This is bullshit. In the streets, I mean, you know, this whole area was completely filled with people. There was thousands of people there. So yeah. It's falling apart quickly.
It's coming to shove. You know, I mean, I'm I'm here with you on Radio 5G, where obviously we're Radio 5G. Beware 5G is our YouTube channel. You know, we couldn't be more obvious. We've got a website. Check it out, folks. 5G-KNOW.com. That shares, you know, a lot of information. So, you know, we can't pretend to be some innocuous little geopolitics channel. We're Radio 5G. You know, with our community here in Colorado, we have started our own YouTube channel, as you know, Blue Star Rising, the Templar Awakening, the real Templar Awakening, folks, the true higher Templar Awakening. And, you know, we're sharing the metaphysician angle. We're sharing the vibrational and frequency level of change there. And we're kind of tiptoeing around these, you know, minefields of potential censorship if we dare to imply that, you know, 50,000 towers going up in a certain city in Asia just before, you know, a breakout of a certain thing happens. You know, okay, how do we tiptoe around that information in a way that shares sacred science, applied sacred science, as we're calling it, which is, you know, the Shungite field, you know, and everything else we know about. It's a very delicate dance. And as you say, Nancy, it's exposing the agenda so nakedly now. The censorship is being exposed so nakedly that even the people who would just love to keep their heads buried in the sand are beginning to realize, oh, this is 1984. This is, you know, I can no longer just completely ignore and rule out the things that are, why is this information being so, you know, vigorously suppressed now? By whom, with what agenda, what vested interests, what are they protecting? And, well, maybe I ought to read that article after all. Maybe I ought to take 10 minutes and see that YouTube after all and see if it just makes sense. See if I don't have to accept that it's true, but is it sufficiently compelling to be worthy of investigation? You know?
Okay, I've got another. It's a 9-minute tape. And I think it's important that we get it on. I put it on other shows. I want it embedded in the shows. Because it's a New York City ICU doctor who went out and put this video out regarding what he's seeing. Okay, now we just listened to Barry talking about, you know, that you can do all of this. You know, you can make these weird kind of changes that are where they start up is the 5G in this case, okay? And this doctor is seeing his patients. He's seeing them dying. He's looking at them. And he has some other observations that I think everybody should know. So it's 9 minutes, okay?
Okay, let's roll.
This is Dr. Cameron Kyle Seidel, ER and critical care doctor from New York City. 9 days ago, I opened an intensive care unit to care for the sickest COVID-positive patients in this city. In these 9 days, I have seen things I have never seen before. In treating these patients, I have witnessed medical phenomenon that just don't make sense in the context of treating a disease that is supposed to be a viral pneumonia. 9 days ago, I presumed I was opening an intensive care unit to treat patients with a virus causing a pneumonia that was ravaging lungs across the world, starting out as something mild, a cough, a sore throat, and progressively increasing in severity until ultimately ending in something called acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS. This is the paradigm that every hospital in the country is working under. This is the disease, ARDS, that every hospital is preparing to treat. And this is the disease, ARDS, for which in the next 2 to 6 weeks, 100,000 Americans might be put on a ventilator. And yet, everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue. In short, I believe we are treating the wrong disease, and I fear that this misguided treatment will lead to a tremendous amount of harm to a great number of people in a very short time. As New York City appears to be about 10 days ahead of the country, I feel compelled to get this information out. COVID-19 lung disease, as far as I can see, is not a pneumonia and should not be treated as one. Rather, it appears as some kind of viral induced disease, most resembling high altitude sickness. It is as if tens of thousands of my fellow New Yorkers are on a plane at 30,000 feet and the cabin pressure is slowly being let out. These patients are slowly being starved of oxygen. I have seen patients dependent on oxygen take off their oxygen and quickly progress through a state of anxiety and emotional distress and eventually get blue in the face. And while they look like patients absolutely on the brink of death, they do not look like patients dying of pneumonia. I have never been a mountain climber, and I do not know the conditions at base camp below the highest peaks in the world, but I suspect that the patients I'm seeing in front of me look most like as if a person was dropped off on the top of Mount Everest without time to acclimate. I don't know the final answer of this disease, but I'm quite sure that a ventilator is not it. That is not to say that we don't need ventilators. We absolutely need them. They are the only way at this time that we are able to give a little more oxygen to patients who need it. But when we treat people with ARDS, we typically use ventilators to treat what's called respiratory failure. We use the ventilator to do the work that the patient's muscles can no longer do because they're too tired to do it. These patients' muscles work fine. I fear that if we're using a false paradigm to treat a new disease, that the method that we program the ventilator, one based on a notion of respiratory failure as opposed to oxygen failure, that this method, and there are a great many number of methods we can use with the ventilator, but this method being widely adopted at this very moment in every hospital in the country, which aims to increase pressure on the lungs in order to open them up, is actually doing more harm than good. And that the pressure we are providing we may be providing to lungs that cannot stand it, that cannot take it, and that the ARDS that we are seeing, that the whole world is seeing, may be nothing more than lung injury caused by the ventilator. Now, I don't know the final answer to this disease. I do sense that we will have to use ventilators. We will have to use a great many number of ventilators, and we need a great many number of ventilators, but I sense that we can use them in a much safer way. In a much safer method. That safer method challenges long-held dogmatic beliefs within the medical community and among lung specialists, which will not be easy to overcome. But I really believe that they must be overcome. There are hundreds of thousands of lungs in this country at risk, and the time to overcome them is now. I'm confident that if those of us that work bedside with these patients, those of us who are witnessing the things that we have never seen before, despite the many years we have worked and the thousands of patients and diseases we have seen, if we can effectively communicate this to all those that are so important but who are not bedside, the researchers, the administrators, those who procure our resources and make our protocols, the politicians, our own government, if we are able to convince them that this is a disease that is different than anything we have ever seen, I am confident that an answer can be found, that effective treatment can be discovered, and that a plan to disseminate that treatment can be rapidly deployed, and that tens of thousands and probably hundreds of thousands of lives and lungs will be protected. The time for this is now. We are staring into a future in which a great many of our fellow Americans are going to suffer. We are all involved in this future. So I urge you, for those of us, if you are out there, for those who work bedside, I urge you to speak up. We can change this. I thank you all for listening. Please spread the message and stay safe.
In light of this important message of this doctor, who I want to add has nothing to gain at all by giving you this, unlike the plethora of people on the news like Bill Gates who have a lot to gain by you taking his advice, this man has nothing to gain and everything to lose. But I'd like to make a few comments, and please take my comments with a grain of salt. Don't believe anything I say. Do your own research. But I'd like to point out here that in my video on 60 gigahertz, FIVEG, I roughly explained how the uptake of oxygen to hemoglobin can be potentially interfered with electromagnetically. Since releasing that video, I have had further confirmation by a molecular scientist specializing in oxygen. I'll show that later. But I showed how it's well known that 60 gigahertz FIVEG is absorbed by oxygen. I showed you footage of how the heads of telecom admit under oath there have been no industry-sponsored safety testing of these frequencies that they are saying they will release in an expedited manner. No safety testing on humans, no safety testing on the environment. In the video, I also begged that we need further testing to be done before we continue to unleash these frequencies on the world. That video was subsequently removed by YouTube. Now this doctor admits this, whatever this is that he's seeing coming into his ICU is unlike anything he has ever seen before. He says he's witnessed medical phenomena that don't make sense in the context of treating a disease that's supposed to be a viral pneumonia. The thing that they're telling you all over the media that this is without a doubt. He describes that the paradigm that they are told that they would be treating is ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome. And quote, yet everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all of the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve have led me to believe that this COV19 is not this disease. He's saying it's not behaving as a viral pneumonia. He says, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue. And he adds that he fears that this misguided treatment will lead to a tremendous amount of harm to a great number of people in a very short period of time. Are you listening? He's calling this oxygen failure. And he's admitting that whatever this is can be exacerbated by the use of ventilators itself. You heard him say it, not me, that as far as he can see it, it is not acting as a pneumonia and it should not be treated as one. Again, a head doctor in ICU in New York City is saying this, not me. I have no medical advice on this topic. I'm simply asking, can we confirm if 60 gigahertz frequency has actually been unleashed in New York City? Are there any whistleblowers out there who install small cell towers who have seen the frequencies listed on the side? Come to me and let me know where they've installed this stuff so we can start to gather this kind of information. Can we start to consider that just perhaps, just maybe, this thing is not what we are being told? Thanks for listening. God bless you. I love you. And I hope to talk to you again very soon.
Okay, that woman is Dana Ashley, and she has done some amazing work out there. But pretty stunning report, huh?
Totally. I saw that video several days ago of that doctor. And I can't imagine, it's like, you know, it's like with Barry Trower. You know, could you ask for anyone more credible, you know, as Dana points out, who's somebody with everything to lose, nothing to gain, sticking his neck out? You know, what agenda can you frame this guy for trying to further? Now, he's just trying to save lives, and he's on the front line, and he's saying what we're being told this is not what it is. And it's something like he's never seen before. This is where, you know, I look at the curve of awakening and the curve of oppression, and just think, all right, we are in the middle of an unfolding here that is just going to be so crucial in determining which timeline we all go down. And I think, you know, to see somebody like Dana Ashley, you know, this smart, dedicated, articulate, balanced young woman out of Southern California, just popping up and deciding, hey, I'm going to share this information. I'm going to go walk through, you know, ICU units and emergency rooms that are supposedly, you know, devastated and crowded with dying people, and lo and behold, they're deserted. You know, that just somebody like that is an example of what's happening. Makes me very hopeful. The fact that we're still on the air. You know, well, okay, Cosmic Reality Radio ain't going down anytime soon, but we have reason to be very cautious and concerned about YouTube. And, you know, once this show goes onto YouTube, how much more aggressive is the censorship going to get as the veil is torn off all this stuff? Because it is being torn off, and it's going to be more torn off as more medical personnel see, hey, excuse me, this ain't an ARDS. And as the correlation begins to be made between areas where towers have gone up and areas where these symptoms are being seen. So,
you know, maybe this is a time to go to the Rappaport report, Johns, and read it. Because we just got a report from somebody who's on the ground. Let's go to his report, because he gives the overview of, let's just look at this in historical time frame.
So this is from, John Rappaport. This was from January 22nd of this year. And it's from his website, nomorefakenews.com. You could Google it under, is the new, quote, deadly China virus, quote, a covert operation? So John Rappaport, just to, for those of you who may not know who he is, he's the author of Matrix Revealed, Exit from the Matrix, Power Outside the Matrix. He's a candidate for U.S. Congress in the 29th District of California, nominated for a Pulitzer. He's worked as an investigative reporter for 30 years, writing articles on politics, medicine, and health for CBS Health Watch, LA Weekly, Spin Magazine, other newspapers and magazines in the U.S. and Europe. So, you know, an on-the-front-lines investigative journalist. So here we go. New virus in China. So this is his first paragraph here is all in caps, right? So it's kind of like ironic commentary that he opens with. New virus in China. Watch out. Spreading. Animals to humans. Pandemic coming up. Obey medical authorities. All hands on deck. Centered in Wuhan, city of 11 million. Will they quarantine and shut down Hong Kong? Travelers with the virus getting through to Europe and America? What's the name of the virus? 2019 nCoV or nCoV 2019? What? Thank God the Chinese are under a tight dictatorship so they can crack down and quarantine anybody on a whim. If your body temperature is elevated on a test, they stop you? Wow, we may need that in the USA as long as they don't stop me. Impeachment? Forget that. It's all about the virus. Okay, end of all caps. And he goes on to say, in the 19 years of this website, the one story that I've researched and covered more than any other is the deadly virus hustle, SARS, swine flu, Ebola, etc. Now we have a new one, the possible maybe coronavirus from China. Now remember, folks, this is from January 22nd, right before the crackdown, the lockdown. Rappaport goes on to say, in each case of these could-be killers, we have an official warning. Quote, this could be the big one. Millions of people could fall ill and die. In each case, there are travelers. People returning from X place have the virus and they are spreading it. In the case of SARS and swine flu, the patient's symptoms were typical flu symptoms, fever, fatigue, cough, weakness. In other words, there was no reason to think the new disease was any different from ordinary traditional illness. The big and only difference is the claim that researchers have found a new virus as the cause of illness. But in each case, there are serious problems with that claim. First, only official researchers are involved with the discovery of the new virus. There's no confirmation from independent researchers. For example, in the case of SARS in 2003, 10 labs, all belonging to the World Health Organization, performed the, quote, discovery of that coronavirus. They were connected through closed circuit, no outsiders allowed. Eventually, a Canadian biologist working for the World Health Organization, Frank Plummer, told the press he was quite puzzled by what he was seeing. More and more SARS patients didn't have the SARS virus at all. In fact, almost no new SARS patients had the virus. Well, when you stop and think about that ridiculous state of affairs, you realize you can't say a person with ordinary flu-like symptoms is suffering from a new disease if he doesn't have the cause of that disease. But the mainstream press took no notice of this and moved on. In the case of the swine flu, quote, epidemic, 2009, the CDC was reporting thousands of cases in America. But CBS star reporter Cheryl Atkinson found out that the CDC had mysteriously stopped counting cases. How could this be? She came up with the devastating answer. The overwhelming percentage of blood tests on swine flu patients were coming back from labs with no sign of the swine flu virus or any other flu virus. That story ran on the CBS news site, but as Atkinson told me in an interview, the bosses at CBS wouldn't allow it on the national television news broadcast, censored. And that was the end of the CBS exposure of the swine flu hoax. As I reported about 3 weeks after CBS shut down the story, WebMD ran a piece in which the CDC estimated there were 22 million cases of swine flu in the U.S. If your head is spinning, it should be. The second major problem with the announcement of a, quote, new disease or an epidemic is the absence of research on what we could call the infection factor. Let me explain. To even begin to say a particular germ is causing a particular disease, you have to prove the germ is present in a patient's body in great numbers. A few little viral particles floating around here and there are irrelevant. You need millions. So, if an ignorant doctor or a researcher states, well, this patient has the coronavirus, so he has the disease, he's falling far short of proving anything useful. Where are the tests proving the patient has millions of the virus in his body? Nowhere. The third major problem with the announcement of a, quote, new disease or an epidemic is the test factor. What test is being run on a patient to prove he has the new virus in his body? Most of the time, it is an antibody test. Stay with me here. This is important. Prior to the year 1984, it was generally recognized that a positive antibody test was a good outcome. In short, it indicated that the patient's immune system had come in contact with the germ and successfully defeated it. But then, for several reasons, this science was turned on its head. A positive antibody test from that time on was evidence that the patient currently had the disease in question. Boom! Now disease numbers could easily be inflated. And they were, and they are. Now I'm going to pause. This is Michael talking in the middle of this John Rappaport article. Let's just go back over that. So what he's saying here is that it was recognized up until 1984 that a positive antibody test was a good outcome. In other words, the patient's immune system had come in contact with the germ and overcome it and defeated it. But now that test, which indicates that the patient no longer has the disease because their immune system overcame it, that test was now being counted by the CDC as evidence that the patient currently has the disease in question. So now you can inflate numbers, and now you can scare people. And that's the agenda we need to look at. So going on with the Rappaport article, automatically assuming that the announcement of a possible epidemic is accurate, well, that's a major mistake to say the least. The CDC and the World Health Organization are operated by virus hunters. Running a new virus up the flagpole is their stock in trade. They rush to an area where a outbreak has been announced, and they roll up their sleeves and look for the virus. They pay no attention to environmental factors, such as contaminated water supplies or toxic chemicals or malnutrition or lack of basic sanitation. Or we here at Radio 5G could add, millimeter microwave radiation from thousands of newly installed towers. Might want to check that out when you're looking for an outbreak. Epidemics are good for business. Pharmaceutical business, inducing fear business, shutting down travel business, diverting the public from key events business, surveillance and quarantine business, and so on. I'm sure at some point there will be thank you China business too. Thank you China for your rule by iron fist over the population. Your ability to stop anyone for any reason and test for the virus may have saved the planet from an extinction event. Freedom? Forget it. Public safety is the ace in the deck. It wins every time. Hell, we may need a good epidemic in the U.S. so we can exert more control over the unruly citizenry. The doctor is king. Do what he says. Always. How many vaccines are there now? Take them all. Because everyone must. 19 years ago, when I started this website, and again, this is John Rappaport's article from nomorefakenews.com. 19 years ago, when I started this website, I told you that of all the cartels in this world, the most important and powerful one long term was the medical cartel. Nothing since that time has changed my mind. So thank you, John Rappaport, for that. And thanks, Nancy, for bringing this to our attention. Again, that's John Rappaport from January 22nd, nomorefakenews.com. So what are you thinking, Nancy?
Well, you know, one of the things that he pointed out was to get the population under control. And there have been people out there that have pointed to the fact that at the time that this virus started up, they were having protests in Wuhan itself. I forget what they were protesting over. And they had the Hong Kong thing happening, and there was just, you know, there was France was in uproar, you know, the yellow vests. You had people all, we, over here in the United States, 5G people were starting to make a ruckus. In Great Britain, they were, you know, screaming and hollering and trying to put, Mark Steele in jail. You know, so there was a lot of discontent and a fear that the populace was starting to, you know, organize and, you know, and the ability to be able to, they were tracking, okay, Hong Kong got hit with it, and so didn't Wuhan in the areas of 5G. But even in a 5G area like Singapore, and is that where the head of the Chinese government is? Is it Singapore? I think so.
No, it's in Beijing.
Where is it?
It's Beijing.
Beijing, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, Singapore is an independent country.
Right. Beijing is not being affected. Okay, so they're not under quarantine or, you know, hiding in their house. So it, even in China, it looks like a very specific attack. And if the Chinese had unleashed it on their own people to quell a civilian uprising that, you know, then was used by the dark side to, you know, go worldwide because it was happening worldwide. I mean, right now, nothing's happening in the streets of France. You know what I'm saying? Now, in our case, 5G is just getting more and more, you know, I said that. I said, oh, wow. I said, this is going to make people focus on 5G more because you could see the pattern.
Yeah, and it is. It, you know, whereas, I mean, I think we pointed this out early on when all this started to come up, that we could not have asked for a more powerful engine, a vehicle to wake people up to the real agenda of 5G than the massive fear campaign being rolled out around the pandemic. Suddenly it's what everybody's talking about. So, and here you've got a frontline doctor in New York City, you know, making the case. He's not naming 5G. He's not talking about microwave radiation. He's simply saying, hey, this isn't acute respiratory, you know, distress syndrome. This is sudden oxygen deprivation. That is not linked, as far as he can see, to, you know, a pneumonia caused by a virus. So he's specifically describing the symptoms of oxygen deprivation that Dana Ashley, you know, then provides, you know, quotes from eminent scientists on exactly how 60 gigahertz attacks and, you know, creates oxygen deprivation. So, it, you know, ironically, once again, the clampdown, the crackdown has exacerbated the wake up. And then that's one of the things I love about history is how many times when tyrants get scared and they decide to crack down, don't they ever learn it backfires and wakes everybody up? I mean, revolution after revolution, you know, they just keep doing it over and over again, you know, from the Boston Massacre to the Easter Rising in Ireland to, you know, Tahrir Square. I mean, they just keep thinking, oh, okay, this is the moment. They're waking up too fast. Let's crack down. Now, yeah, sometimes crackdowns work for a while. Tiananmen Square, 1989, you know, what really happened there? Well, the tanks came in and massacred thousands of, you know, of peaceful demonstrators. And the regime preserved its authority in the face of the democracy movement. So, however, in the long run, you know, the long run agenda is to implement an electronic grid that dumbs down the people, controls the people, surveils the people, and allows, you know, targeted elimination of problem people, to prevent any true awakening and liberation of humanity. And so push has come to shove, and it's once again, they, like you said, Nancy, you know, they rolled out 5G too soon. Then people started to wake up. And however the pandemic actually rolled out, whatever, you know, the specific release, causative factor, okay, we need a cover story for all the deaths that are going to happen from the other thing. You know, it's a chaotic situation. I think, you know, there's factions fighting factions trying to control this thing. And,
I mean, okay, so they have, okay, and I was actually, you know, I could have said, oh, look at all these stupid people that are going and just putting themselves in their homes. From the standpoint of the patriots, to get the people off of the streets and in safe places and not in malls and churches and schools that the death squads could have started shooting up, bringing the war from underground to the cities, was brilliant. You know, oh, look at, they've done this. Okay, well, let's just go because we believe that the American people will go and isolate themselves just for the sake of everybody else and themselves. And that's what we did. It wasn't blind, you know, go in, if they had told us go in there because we're telling you, no, but they put it in a way that we could accept, you know, this is going to save us all if you just do this for this limited amount of time. But what's happened is you got all these people that are sitting there with nothing to do except to start searching the internet and finding people like you and I talking this crazy talk.
Right.
And there's a massive awakening because they put everybody in their homes with an internet.
Yeah. And, you know, if you listen to Nancy Hopkins and Michael Dunn for long enough, and if your, you know, determination to stay in denial isn't too deep, you're eventually going to realize, well, they don't sound crazy after all. And they sound like what we used to refer to as normal patriotic Americans who just, you know, happen to be of a generation where we have a generational memory of what it was like to be an American, you know, in a country where we still had personal freedom to a greater degree, where, you know, American values were, you know, picture this, kids, Gen X kids, millennial kids, whomever listening to this baby boomer talking, I remember when Sundays were Sundays. You know, you go outside right now, I made the comparison to somebody, and you peek out your window in LA. I've got a good friend who lives on Sunset Boulevard, right in Hollywood. And I said, yeah, so skies are clear over LA, Sunset Boulevard. What does it look like? Well, it looks like what any average main street in America used to look like on Sunday morning, because the businesses were closed, because it was the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So we didn't, you know, supermarkets weren't open, malls weren't open. There wasn't, you know, it wasn't just another day of business. It was a day to connect with spirit, whatever your religion or faith tradition was, or absence thereof. If you just want to watch football because you don't believe in all that stuff, fine. But, you know, once upon a time, you know, we grew up in an America where you had personal freedom, where you actually studied the history of your country, where the Constitution wasn't being shredded, you know, before our very eyes. So, you know, you listen to folks like Nancy and I, or, you know, any of the, like this amazing young woman, God bless the, whether she's Gen X or millennial, whatever, Dana Ashley's fantastic example of a spirit and a determination that just makes me really hopeful when I look at, you know, young people in this country like her and what is possible. Not only what's possible, what's happening with a wake up. And suddenly everybody is either digging more deeply into denial because it's just getting so difficult to ignore. They have to really bury their heads 6 feet deeper in the sand. Or there's other folks who are just saying, well, maybe there's something to this conspiracy theory stuff after all, and maybe I should drop that conspiracy theory concept and call it, you know, reality, or at least use my own discernment, do my own research, and not dismiss these people as wackos, but simply make the really risky, bold assertion that, maybe this is just worthy of investigation. Not going to say it's true, but I'm not going to dismiss them as wackos. I'm not going to bury my head in the sand. I'm going to do my own research because it's proven true over and over again. Today's history is yesterday's conspiracy theory. Look at it over and over again. Check out Operation Northwoods if you want to talk about false flags. So, you know, it's declassified. It's historically documented, and nobody can ignore anymore that the Joint Chiefs of Staff in 1962 recommended to JFK that American planes attack American citizens under false flag to garner support for an invasion of Cuba. So anyway, we've got about 8 minutes left here.
Well, I just want to point out that my first radio show on 5G was back in 2014. I didn't even know, remember doing it, but I was going through some stuff and I said, wow, you know, 5G back then. There were other people back then. Mark Steele, you know, one of the first people to start talking in terms of 5G is a weapon system. And a lot of people, well, I had this one guy comment on one of my YouTube, and he said, I followed Nancy for a very long time, but when she started talking about the weaponization of 5G, he thought, okay, that's enough of me. She said, and he said, I apologize. You know, because now all the things that we've been saying that sounded crazy are not as crazy as what people are now confronting. A virus that shut down the entire world. Nothing is moving. Well, there are things moving, but, you know, I mean, basically shut everybody in the house, and you have a virus that, you know, is overriding the hospitals, but you go to the hospitals and there's nobody there. you have a drug that is healing people, you know, seemingly miraculous. It's a cheap, cheap drug, been around for decades, and the pharmaceutical companies are going, oh, no, no, you don't want that because we can't make any money off of it. We need to vaccinate you. Why do you need to vaccinate? So that, just like Trower said, to get that RF chip in you so that you're carrying it around. Why do you think that the people that are so crazy about this vaccination, they know that when they give you that vaccination, you're getting a tiny nanotechnology chip in you that allows them to not only track you, but to control you, to send signals into your head that makes it sound like somebody's talking to you. This is all real. It's not sci-fi.
Right. Again, I just want to remind people who are listening to this, Barry Trower was, you know, an intelligence agent for the British government. This is, you know, you listen to that interview, this is a solid, sober, mature, experienced veteran of British intelligence, who is just sharing with you the point-by-point rolling out of this technology, you know, how psychiatric disorders, suicidal tendencies, schizophrenia can be induced, were induced, how innocent British women protesting peacefully outside an American military base were targeted with microwave radiation to induce cancers and psychiatric disorders in retaliation for their peaceful protest outside a U.S. base. So, you know, and this is a consequence of Operation Paperclip, of, you know, the bringing over of Nazi science, of genocidal Nazi scientists to work for the U.S. government. So, you know, in these last 5 minutes here, I'm just trying to think, okay, because we always try to, you know, we bring it around to hope. We bring it around to what's being done, to what we can do, to what tools we have in our hands. You know, we had Mark Steele last year on this radio station, you know, and you and I would talk, Nancy, before we had Mark come on, and go, wow, Mark is so intense. Mark's information is so bleak. Mark is so, you know, the way, and with his accent and his personality as well, you know, he's gone, it's a kill grid. You got to understand, it's a kill grid. And we're going, oh, geez, Mark, you know, I don't know. Do we want to shove that down people's throats? Well, now, lo and behold, you know, if you had said to us, you know, they're going to roll out a pathogen, they're going to do it under a cover to cover up, you know, what's happening with this microwave stuff, and it's going to be under, you know, and I'm rolling my eyes and going, oh, Mark, man, can you tone it down a little bit? Are we going to get people to believe this? If you tell them, oh, the world is going to lock down in a few months and it's going to be, you know, hundreds of thousands of people dropping like flies and they're going to have this cover. I just would have rolled my eyes and gone, oh, Mark, come on, man, you know, chill a little bit here. We need to keep our people with us so you don't sound too wacky. Well, lo and behold, here we are, folks, and it's only April, you know? So, where we're going to be by midsummer, I'm hopeful. And I would like to just share with everybody, you know, Nancy and I started up this Radio 5G last year. And one of the things that has me most hopeful is the reality of Shungite and the quantum field and how it works with human intention and the applied sacred sciences that are going on hand in hand with the wake up, with the fact that once again, they crack down too clumsily, too fast, and they're just exacerbating the wake up. So I encourage everybody to tune into the Shungite field, Shungite science, and the ways that not only can be protective of your own health, just on an immune system level to keep you healthy, but to work with the quantum field and the intention. And maybe you want to talk a little bit about that, Nancy? I mean, you're the Shungite authority, one of the best in the world on it. Is that something we can touch on here to just roll out with some hopeful information?
The Shungite field is in Karelia, Russia, which is in the far western part of Russia. And it is a tool to be used by humanity in that it is teaching us a tremendous amount about energy, about how energy works at distances, how energy is a matter of spin and other fields colliding with one another and what happens. But more importantly, it connects the people that are engaged with Shungite in a quantum way. You know, it's like everybody that says, you know, I'm going to reach out and work with Mother Nature, work with the Shungite, work with the mineral kingdom, work with the plant kingdom and the insect and the ant. I'm going to work with it all because we're all connected energetically. And Shungite is a way of energetically connecting everybody in getting a quantum entanglement. Because you get quantum entanglements when you're born into a location at a specific time. All your experiences, all of your genetics, all of that is quantum entanglement. But Shungite is allowing us to have an energetic quantum entanglement simply because we're all working with the same energy. And it's an energy that is very pure and just pretty amazing. So Yeah, look into Shungite if you don't know about it. And we are at the top of the hour, darling.
All right. So this has been one of our best, I think, you know, in terms of sharing really important information. So please, folks, if you're hearing this on YouTube, share it around. And because not only is there hope that the light can win, but the light is winning. But it's up to each one of us to grow and share our light. So God bless us all, and see you next week. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening. May it be.
Let it be.